Jason Ross, Charles T. Hamilton, final hour here of the lowdown, but a big day here on KHDK, the NBA season opener and home opener for the Sacramento Kings tonight. Grant and Doug coming up at 3 from the arena. We have game night later. We have Kings Live pregame. The G-Man on the call. We talked to him earlier today. Also, David Locke, the voice of the Jazz, and still coming up in a few minutes from The Athletic, a weekly guest for with us here on the lowdown, Sam Amick. And again, all guests are coming to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings.
Just wing it.
Nice.
Just wing it.
You've heard that before, huh?
Once or twice, man.
Dodgers Brewers about to go right now. Interesting for this game 5 coming up. Clayton Kershaw on the mound. If I'm a Dodger fan, I'd be confident and feel good. But he's one of those guys that has not had the best postseasons. And I don't know how that works. I mean, he's obviously a Hall of Fame talent, but sometimes you need good fortune. I'd still rather have him pitch, but you know, you get a guy like Bumgarner who always goes in these things and just.
Yeah.
Shoves it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how does it happen?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And that's other, like some pitchers maybe get, you know, 10 runs.
Yeah.
And you know, whatever. You're
it
just
was easy.
Good to
I
go.
Gave up
yeah,
three, but
we
had scored 10, so it didn't matter how I pitched.
No, I'm with you. I don't, it's
they're
a mystery.
Clutch.
Man.
Okay.
Please.
So I hit a broken bat single that knocked in the game winning run, but I'm clutch.
Super clutch, man.
Yeah.
Some people, clutch gene.
Yeah. It's
you
a
know?
Thing.
It's a real.
You believe in that?
Real. Yeah. I know how to get it also.
Yeah?
It's a secret. I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, you're not going to tell us. Can you tell the Kings so they have it for tonight?
I might, but I'm going to have to sell it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that for free.
All right.
Clutch gene, man.
Might be worth buying. It is definitely real. It is 2:04. Time to visit MadeAChevy.com and see who's made a great deal at Meta. And it's time to bring back Sam Amick. We're so excited to have Sam Amick back here on the show with me, Jason Ross, Charles T. Hamilton. Sam, how are you?
Jason and Charles, doing great, gentlemen. Nice to be back. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, that means the NBA is back. How's The Athletic? Is it any different for you? Is the workload different, better? Tell us about the new venture there at The Athletic.
I appreciate it. It's an exciting time of transition. It is definitely different. You know, we end up being able to tell stories that I honestly got to the point at the old job that were I just couldn't tell in terms of scope and length. You know, I wrote a 5,000-word Lakers story the other day, and that was not going to happen at the old spot. You know, it makes it more fun from a reporting standpoint because, honestly, you feel, I don't know what the word is, you feel a lot more free when it comes to, like, your own curiosity about anything and everything NBA-related because the truth is, you know, that the only kind of threshold at the new job for what's worth doing and what's not worth doing is it interesting and will the fans and the readers find it interesting? And if it is, then pursue it and you can use the platform to kind of tell those stories. So it's been fun so far.
And you're not, I mean, I don't want to say restricted because you focused on the Western Conference while Zilgit in the past at USA Today did the Eastern. Do you have full parameters to, hey, I need to do a story on the Magic or whatever, or anybody, can you do anything there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, the answer is yes. And they also, I've been kind of pleasantly surprised early on to learn that, you know, we've got a lot of really talented writers and they're trying to create a culture that it's funny because that's a word that NBA teams use all the time. But it's, you know, any company, any business has a culture. And this culture at its best has no walls. A good story is a good story. So if I see something with the Sixers, I'm jumping on it.
Yeah.
If I see something with the Knicks, like I've got one, I don't know if I'll do it, but I have a Knicks-related thing that I've been digging around on a little bit. And, you know, we do have other national writers, you know, in that neck of the woods. Michael Lee, formerly of Yahoo Sports and the Washington Post, just signed on, which is exciting. We got Shams Charania in Chicago, you know, and Zach Harper's down in L.A. So we're kind of, you know, spread out in that regard. But, no, it's if you think you have a beat on a good story and you have the ability to actually execute on it, then you go ahead and do it.
Sam, what are you hearing about how this Minnesota situation will end up? I mean, Butler, as of now, is going to be a member of the Timberwolves. Is this lasting long, or are we seeing a trade here soon?
You know what? I'll be honest, guys. It's feeling like it might last a little while, you know, unless Pat Riley picks up the phone and sweetens the pot, you know, and gets Jimmy a get-out-of-jail-free card to Miami, then you know, I don't see this changing. Houston has been consistently engaged with Minnesota and would love to get Jimmy, but they also, you know, like people have asked about like PJ Tucker, like they're not giving up PJ Tucker to get Jimmy Butler. I do think they would be willing to have Eric Gordon on the table. But, you know, there's no traction there at all. And so it seems a little surreal to say, but I think this is going to be the way it goes for a little while. And what's crazy about it is that Tom Thibodeau, A, is just legendarily stubborn, which is kind of fun to watch unfold on the public stage. And B, Jimmy Butler, you know, Tom knew Jimmy, and he knew that he was going to kick and scream and be upset, but he also knew that Jimmy wasn't going to miss games, and that when Jimmy gets on a basketball floor, he wants to win, no matter how frustrated he is by his, you know, current situation. So I don't know where it's all going. I know that at our place, and I know apologies for sounding like a commercial here, but John Krasinski, who's in Minnesota, has just been absolutely killing that story for our place, and just every couple of days has something new that, you know, teaches you about what's actually happening. He had a good read today just talking about, you know, essentially the question of, like, is this real life? Is this really happening? Here they go. They're playing San Antonio. I believe, is it tonight, tomorrow night, one of the two?
Yeah, tonight.
And, we'll see how it goes.
Don't worry, Sam. I'm also pretty much an infomercial for The Athletic. I love what you guys are doing over there. But as far as Minnesota's concerned, do you kind of stand with everyone else where they're pretty much a lottery team without Jimmy Butler? Like, do you see any way that they at least fight for the eighth seed this year without him, or is it pretty much done without Jimmy?
No, I don't see it. I mean, Carl's a very good player. They just gave him $190 million. Wiggins is a good player, but, you know, consistently criticized around the league for lacking kind of the competitive fire. And we're seeing that's partly what Jimmy gets frustrated by. You know, Carl has got major defensive deficiencies. So, no, without Jimmy, especially because the West is so brutal, you know, like I wrote something breaking down the whole West. And as I see it, it's like 12 teams fighting for eight spots. And I did have Minnesota as one of those 12 because, for, you know, right now Jimmy's on the team. But, you know, you have a team like Denver that I think it was like last year they won like 13 out of 16 down the stretch. You know, ended really strong, had a really good year. They're still on the outside looking in. Denver's going to be even better this year. I was a little surprised when I did that story and I talked to a scout who gave his perspective on each team. He still had the Spurs in the playoffs. And if that's the case, then that's even more bad news, you know, for a team like Minnesota. Because bear in mind, that's with DeJounte Murray getting hurt, Lonnie Walker, and Derek White, too. So they've just had been decimated. Rudy Gay's dealing with a problem as well. But the West is still stacked. You know, OKC's got health problems, but they're not the kind of health problems that are going to keep them out of the playoffs. I think they just might kind of contribute to a slow start. But, you know, Minnesota is not only a mess, but I'm kind of curious to see, like, you know, if they start winning a few games, then I don't know if all these decades of discussion that we've had about chemistry or it's just all for naught, because, you know, that would fly in the face of the idea that you need to have a decent environment to win as a team. But again, we're going to find out here pretty soon.
I think I know the answer to this, but I might as well ask, Sam. You said you had 12 teams for eight spots in the West. Who were the three looking in, outside looking in?
We had Phoenix, Dallas, and that team that you spend a lot of time around.
Yeah, I had a hunch. Just wanted to make sure I had clarity on what I thought it was.
Yeah. I mean, Phoenix has got a couple good pieces. They got their own chaos. They just fired their GM, 9 days before the regular season. It's funny. The Luka Doncic already has just been a complete disruptor. I mean, he's been good early on. There's so much buzz. Kings fans are pulling their hair out because they wish he was in a Kings jersey. You know, that's obviously putting Marvin Bagley in a tough spot. But it extends beyond there, where it's like, you know, the fans in Atlanta aren't sure they'd rather have Trae Young over Doncic. And so, you know, Luka is bringing a lot of hope to the Mavs organization, along with Dennis Smith Jr. and some of the other pieces they have, DeAndre Jordan. The thing with the Kings, and I just hate to say this because over the years I do have a real affinity for Kings fans and think they deserve a winner. But it's just, you know, the scout that I talked to, his thing was, you know, you got to at least sell hope in this league. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like a ton of hope for the Kings right now. And then they don't have the draft pick next summer, which is a little bit of salt in the wound.
You know, Sam, one of the storylines that will be followed all year, I don't know how hectic it will be, but is Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. What are they going to have to do to sell him to kind of like do what Paul George did, where everybody thought he was leaving, but he stayed. What does Toronto have to do to impress Kawhi Leonard enough to keep him?
I think it's honestly somewhat possible. And somebody asked me earlier today, you know, which superstar, Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard, would be in a different jersey by next season, if I had to pick one. And I said, you know what, I think it's Anthony. Because Kawhi, so he's from the L.A. area, Moreno Valley. I read a really good story in the San Diego Union-Tribune. I wish I could give credit to the columnist. I'm forgetting who wrote it. But they had quoted, you know, friends of Kawhi from his upbringing who kind of predicted that he was going to like Toronto. And it got my attention because I'm kind of a sucker for, like, the people who knew a guy back in the day actually really understanding how he's wired, as opposed to, you know, the people around the NBA right now who, especially in the case of Kawhi Leonard, don't actually know him. I could see him liking Toronto. Masai Ujiri, who's heading up their front office, is a wonderful pitch man. He's a charismatic, caring individual. I like him a lot. And he's the kind of person who can help Kawhi understand that not only can you contend for the Eastern Conference crown, you know, if you're in Masai's shoes, you're saying, listen, Kawhi, Boston is loaded right now. But Terry Rozier is coming up on a contract year. Marcus Morris coming up on a contract year. Kyrie Irving's knees are always giving him problems. Gordon Hayward might never be the same. You know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to want to get paid. You can paint a picture where you say Boston's shelf life for being this stacked is not that long. And then Philly is already taking, it seems, a little bit of a step back. You know, do you really want to go to the West and have to deal with those Warriors, those Rockets, LeBron for however long he can keep doing it? You know, I think Toronto's got a really good pitch.
So I know this was in the parameters of who would be on a different team next year, but do you see a situation where Anthony Davis is traded before next season? Or because doesn't he have 2 years left? So wouldn't they be able to, you know, wait till next season's trade deadline?
Right. Yeah. There's no urgency. He's not applying any pressure, you know, either through backdoor channels as far as leaking things in the media or just what he says publicly. What got everybody's attention I guess 2 months ago, he signed with Rich Paul, you know, LeBron's agent from Clutch Sports. And, you know, that's a red flag if ever you saw one, because people are going to connect dots immediately to the idea that Anthony is going to go play with the Lakers. And, you know, it's worth monitoring. You know, we have seen so many superstar, you know, kind of forcing way out situations recently. And typically the formula, Charles, to your point, is that it's the year before you're going to be a free agent. So that would be next summer. This year would have to, you know, go poorly enough that Anthony would be frustrated, and then he would express that frustration, and then they would have to think about trading him rather than losing him for nothing. You know, if you go back to Kevin Love, how he got out of Minnesota, you know, and more recently you got Kawhi, you got Kyrie, Paul George, you know, to a lesser degree, Eric Bledsoe. There was a bunch of names on that list. You know, so I think the Pelicans have this year, but they're just a moving target. You don't know what to make of them because I think losing Rondo hurts. Losing Cousins, I think, during the regular season is going to hurt. They got Julius Randle, who I think is a nice pickup. But, you know, Elfrid Payton up top is not making me sleep very well at night when it comes to that being a guy who's running your offense. So we'll see how that goes.
In the same vein, Giannis in Milwaukee, is this looked at as, I don't know if make or break is the right term, but maybe we could be looking at a similar situation if, you know, they don't take a leap this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the tough part for small market teams is that, so Kings fans are just down on their luck right now. You know, and imagine, though, if you had a guy like Giannis in your small market franchise, and then the calculus becomes, all right, enjoy him now, because unless you are able, like, you know, the general feeling around the NBA is, unless Giannis legitimately feels like he's walking away from a team that could win a championship, then there's just not a ton of incentive for him to stay. And then he'll probably go try, you know, whether it's the bigger market or whether it's just something different, that he's probably on his way out the door. And so the bar for you to meet as a franchise trying to, you know, make the most of that talent is just incredibly high. Like, you have an infinite amount of time to put the roster together in the right way, because otherwise you'll be saying goodbye, and that's definitely the way I think people feel about Giannis.
Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us here, as he will each and every week on The Lowdown. Sam, another name, if we're going big names here in our last couple questions, I've read it a couple times, and I still wonder why it's even out there, but Kevin Durant and the Knicks keeps getting thrown out there, and I don't connect those dots, but you have more connections than I do, obviously. Why would that even be a thing, if it is a thing?
A couple reasons. Excuse me. For one, I think the idea is that from, and I find this, like, you know, the part of me that thinks I could occasionally try my luck as a sports psychologist, like, finds this interesting, is that from a human standpoint, Kevin Durant leaves OKC, and part of it is there's only so much oxygen in the room, and Russell Westbrook is hard to coexist with. That's just my opinion, but that's my read, partly. You know, X's and O's played a major part. But, you know, so it's a little bit like the Warriors presented such a different human experience for Kevin, where you had, you know, less pressure, more ability to do what you do best, more ability to face single coverage and just dominate the way he has. But now it's a little bit of like, be careful what you wish for, because you're getting the championships and the accolades, but what you're not getting is that kind of singular feeling of being the guy who is lifting out the franchise. And he had that feeling in OKC. And if you go to Oracle and you watch and listen and feel the crowd when Steph Curry comes into the building, and then you watch and listen and feel when Kevin comes in the building, it's just never going to be the same. This is Steph Curry's franchise. That's all there is to it. It always will be as long as Kevin's there. So with New York, you know, part of it is that, for one, you know, they've tried to structure their roster and their cap in a way where they could provide a landing spot for him. Scott Perry is a guy who, excuse me, came from Seattle and was working with Sam Presti. So Scott is the Knicks GM. And so there's a little bit of a shared history there. And I guarantee you Scott's trying to put on his recruiting hat and make that happen. And obviously former Kings executive Scott Perry. And from there, you know, as far as why that's becoming a thing, it's, you know, this might mean nothing, but his Kevin's agent a while back, Rich Kleiman, who's kind of his right-hand man, had tweeted something that got a lot of attention, just randomly tweeted, "I'm going to run the Knicks one day." And ever since he tweeted that, you know, like, Rich is one of those entrepreneurial guys who, like, if you look at like Rob Pelinka, for example, the longtime agent of Kobe Bryant, is now the GM of the Lakers, you know, guys like Rich Kleiman potentially look at kind of the way the power works in this league. And, you know, and so that's something people have not forgotten. Like, was that a kind of exposing some behind the scenes plan to have this thing wind up in New York with Kevin Durant? And then today, I'm sure you guys saw this, the latest social media thing with Kevin's brother commenting on his Instagram post about how they're going to fill up their hands with rings and then, you know, head for the door. You know, is adding to the speculation. So that's going to be there all year. And honestly, whether it's New York or anywhere else, yeah, I think it's fair. Like, Kevin's responses to this point have sounded like a guy who's going to keep all of his options open.
Definitely. Sam, I have to ask, and it's a story that isn't that interesting, but to me is interesting because it is like the 10th man on the Warriors, but Pat McCaw's holdout, and what makes it interesting to me is the guy has no leverage. Do you have any idea what's going on there?
I don't have a great feel for it, other than, you know, to continue being a commercial and to say Marcus Thompson of The Athletic had a great story on it the other day. So Marcus always got a pulse on the Warriors, and he wrote a story about Pat. And it was interesting because he kind of anonymously quoted some of the Warriors players expressing concern just for kind of their brother and their teammate, and making that point that you're making, Charles, that he doesn't have leverage. You know, the way this works is the Warriors have his rights. You know, he has not picked up that qualifying offer. And the market, clearly, nobody is offering him more money anywhere else. And he's just kind of stuck. And the concern is that, all right, this is from the Warriors' standpoint, you know, we get it. Your role is not exactly what you want. But, you know, let's not forget that in this league, you know, time is fleeting. And you only have so much time. So the idea of a guy that young, you know, losing any valuable time, even just being around the NBA team and practicing every day and getting that kind of training is not ideal. So I don't know where that whole thing is going, but it definitely is a little mysterious.
Sam, last thing for you. I know you already said earlier about the Kings being one of the three teams that you don't anticipate competing for the eight spots, but can the Kings be competitors in any of these? You know, we heard of them rumored with Jimmy Butler or any other projected deals out there, because that is one thing they do have is some cap space. They probably have a desire to get some sort of 2019 pick. Do you anticipate them being utilized in, I don't know, any kind of upcoming deals, whether that's soon or by the trade deadline?
So, I mean, they were involved, you know, when it was, now I'm forgetting, it was, you know, the Jimmy stuff before with them as a third team. I think, yeah, it was Miami. It was potentially, you know, pieces going the Kings way, and they would be trying to get a first-round pick out of it at minimum. So I could see that kind of involvement, and that, you know, cap space is going to put you in that conversation. Although I saw somebody tweet something that I generally agreed with, which is that, you know, that cap space gets more expensive by the day. You know, you don't necessarily, you know, if the Kings right now want a developmental environment, and they don't, I don't think, want a bunch of new pieces kind of shuttling in and out. And so we'll see what happens there. The bigger thing for me, big picture about the Kings, I've been pondering this question is, you know, they seem to, in my opinion, to be stuck in a tough position when it comes to different opportunities that might cross their desk. And then talented players who then it's the fear factor of players not wanting to be in Sacramento. And I talked to an executive about this the other day, and that philosophical question of, you know, I understand you want everybody on your roster to be all in and to be happy to be in Sacramento, but it also reaches a point where you can't miss out on chances to get talented players and not have kind of the I don't know if fortitude's the right word, but just to not essentially, like the Chris Webber situation is the prime example. You know, what if the Kings had shied away from the uncomfortable nature of having Chris Webber in Sacramento? You would have missed out on an entire era. And whether it's Jimmy Butler and the idea that, you know, that he, by all accounts, wasn't interested in coming to Sacramento, and so they didn't show any interest in him, or, you know, if it was a Luka Doncic who might not have wanted to be here, it's, I think that's something they got to chew on is, you can't let this stuff just come and go because you don't want it to be comfortable or uncomfortable.
Yeah. All right, Sam, we always appreciate it. We're glad you're back, and we look forward to talking to you every week.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, that's the great Sam Amick from The Athletic. Check out all this stuff there. And again, all guests are coming to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings.
Just wing it.
Wing it.
Got you.
When Charles and I come back, some developments going on in Los Angeles with the Dodgers and the Brewers. We'll tell you about that. And also 11 other games or 11 total games in the NBA tonight. Some of intrigue. We'll discuss that next here on The Lowdown. Kings living on a prayer tonight.
I guess, man.
That's home opener. Sometimes some magic can happen.
Living
in the home
on a prayer is the quintessential like 80s rock song or whatever.
Yeah.
To where you hear it and you think it's a parody of Living on a Prayer. You know what I mean? Like it sounds like something that like South Park made up.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
To mock it,
yeah,
but it's really it.
But it's really it. You know?
I see where you're going with that.
I like
though.
It. Don't
yeah.
get me wrong.
Oh, it's...
We were in here, you know. Not singing.
Yeah, air guitar.
Yeah.
But haven't...
I play a great air saxophone.
Do you?
Yeah.
Not a lot of people do that.
Doesn't look like a saxophone when you play it.
No, just... Christopher.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
God, unbelievable.
This guy.
We're going to have to dump that.
Yeah. But have you won some contests?
Yeah. All right. Now I'm self-conscious because Chris, you know, made an inappropriate joke.
But now we can't wait to see.
Well, what does it look like?
Watch it.
Yeah, I know. That's
something else.
Yeah. It is 2:32. Time to visit MadeChevy.com and see who's made a great deal at Meta. Jason Ross, Charles T. Hamilton, Damian
just
is off today.
Meta it.
Yep.
Oh, thank
nice.
You.
Did they get completely out of this inning? I think they may have.
I think so.
So we were saying there were some developments going on in Los Angeles. Brewers, Dodgers. Brewers, nothing happened really in the top of the first against Clayton Kershaw. Bottom of the first, Wade Miley started. Five pitches, Charles. Walked Bellinger, leadoff hitter, got the hook. He was done. No injury.
Yeah.
They went right to the bullpen. This, I mean, they've been doing this a little bit this season, but Miley pitched really well the first meeting of the series. I don't get what's going on with Milwaukee, how they're doing this, but it worked. They got out of the inning.
Yeah. You know, he had a 5-pitch limit, I guess. Yeah, that was crazy. We were in here when Sam was on. We saw him taking him out. And
is he coming out?
He hurt? What's going on? No outs, man on first, 5 pitches, they take him out. I don't know. It's worked.
Because we asked when the A's did it against the Yankees, one game, and I still maintain that it kind of worked. I mean, they were in the game.
Yes.
Now, they didn't win the wild card game, but they were in it, and I still think their offense let them down that day. Brewers have done this a lot this series. I'm still fascinated to see if this is going to be a thing. But I think if you have Kershaw, it doesn't matter. But a lot of teams, not that many teams have a stud like that.
Wade Miley, is that a country singer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they took him out. Five
pitches. I mean, that sounds like a country singer.
Yeah. Not that productive.
Woodruff? What's his first name? That could be a lead man for someone.
Miley.
Yep.
It's weird, but it's Miley Woodruff.
How
about the bomb he hit off Kershaw in game one? So you have a lefty going against a lefty. Bullpen guy is like, oh, we're going to bat him here. Just took him dead center.
That's almost as cool as it gets.
That actually is pretty cool.
Like, honestly.
That was one of my favorite moments this past week.
Maybe Ishikawa's home run for the Giants, but he's still a position player.
Right.
The fact that a relief pitch, not even a starter, who gets more opportunities to bat, a relief pitcher hits a bomb off Kershaw.
On lefty and lefty, too. And
like,
dead
that's
center.
Awesome.
Yeah. Really cool. Tonight, 11 games in the NBA. Here's some games, though, that I'm intrigued for different ways.
Hit me with it.
Hawks and Knicks. One, because we just talked about Trae Young and what he might mean. Vince Carter, I think, is starting for Atlanta.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
Cool.
I love Vince. I mean, he's awesome.
I do, too.
I just think it's, hey, you're a veteran. Like, here.
Yeah.
Help us lead.
Yeah.
Be cool and help us out.
Know what? Let me just throw this out here real quick, and we'll probably, I don't know if we'll talk about the Sixers anymore. Something I noticed last night also is they lack a veteran presence.
Yeah.
Not that that's the most important thing, but you have to have a calming presence. Like, the Celtics have Al Horford.
Redick's not that? Not enough?
I don't see him as that. Like, yes, he is the veteran, but as far as a calming veteran presence, like, I don't see that with Redick.
Yeah.
Because he can be a little erratic.
True.
Where...
Erratic.
Boom. We should sign off on that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good night.
But that could be a missing piece for that team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You were talking about Vince, and that just... that, but yeah, keep
so going. Hawks at Knicks. Part of the intrigue for me is
Trae Young.
That, and then who's the worst team in the East? Is it one of these two?
I guess Hawks. I could see Knicks. When do we know when Porzingis will be back? We really don't.
No.
Yeah, it could easily be the Knicks, but I expect them to get Porzingis back sometime this year, so that should help. But I mean. Hawks probably, but who knows? Is Kevin Huerter a nice shooter? You know, is Trae Young rookie of the year and kind of picks them up a little bit? Dwayne Dedmon's a nice player, even though I do think he'll be a trade piece. I think he might be a Laker by the end of the year, honestly, because I don't think JaVale is their guy or, you know, Zubats or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's probably the Hawks.
A couple other games I think are intriguing tonight for different reasons. How about the Cavs and the Raptors? Raptors more so. Made a big switch. I mean, moving from DeRozan to Kawhi Leonard, I think everybody wants to see what Kawhi looks like there. And then the Cavs, I actually don't think are going to make the playoffs. I think Damian does. We've kind of differed on that a little bit. And I could see the path for them. It's a lot of experience. There's still some good players on that team. And I don't see the drop-off the last time LeBron left. I mean, they were terrible. I don't think they're going to be terrible, but I don't have them in the eight in the East.
I'm leaning towards them, the
Making
eight in the
it?
East, yeah, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of with Damian on that. Don't tell him
I
said that.
Yep.
No, but I do see them at least in the conversation, but look, if they're bad, it wouldn't be a surprise if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And then the Raptors, obviously, Kawhi, Danny Green also. Like, that's another thing is Danny Green's a throw-in piece with that to make the salaries work. He's a solid player.
Yeah.
Like, he could definitely contribute to that team.
The other games of intrigue to me tonight, Pelicans Rockets. So Pelicans for a couple of reasons. Obviously, it's the Kings' next opponent. Houston adds Carmelo. Pelicans lose DeMarcus and Rondo, but we saw the run they had last year. What do you think about that game tonight and really those two teams in the Pelicans and the Rockets?
It is very interesting. I'm interested to see what the Pelicans do with Julius Randle because the Pelicans were good with DeMarcus. Like, they were definitely hitting their stride right when he got hurt. But then they put in Mirotić, move Davis to the five, and really take off, continue to get better. Is that what they're going to do? Will they try and start all three of them, which I think is a recipe for disaster? I'm interested in them. And then the Rockets, I'm interested with the new pieces. I want to see how it works. Not just Carmelo, but Marquise Chriss. Brandon Knight, I don't know if he's healthy or not, but he's going to be a piece eventually. Tyler Ennis, or is it James? One of the Ennis brothers that they added. I just want to see how these new pieces work out as well. I do think the Rockets are still going to be good, but I do think they took a step back from last year.
Yeah, and I think they might even be, I don't know if they'll be better offensively, but I think they're going to fit that mold of some nights they're going to hit 22 threes and beat everybody.
Exactly.
And I don't think their defense is going to be as good in the postseason when they need it to be, and that's what gave them a chance against the Warriors. But I feel like that's missing. They still may end up being a two or maybe even a one. They may win more games than the Warriors, but I don't feel like they're – I still don't think they're good enough.
And maybe that's my problem with how I view them, and part of that is because their GM actually came out and said it last year that, you know, they're obsessed with the Warriors.
Yeah.
So I view them as every move should be focused on trying to beat the Warriors.
Which felt like they did last year.
Exactly.
Not this year.
And now maybe they're not focused on that as much and are just trying to remain good. So – they'll still be good. They'll still be a top 3-4 seed at least.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. The defense is going to take a hit.
Yeah. Too many valuable pieces. But I like the way they're constructed. It's funny that, you know, now that Harden's won his MVP, I haven't seen anybody thinking he's going to win it this year. And he's still obviously just as good, right in the sweet spot of his career in the prime. But what could he do this year? It's a little bit like Westbrook last year, who did average a triple-double, but didn't get the MVP. Now he's won it. I don't know that they'll win that many more games, if any more, and it'd be tough to have a better statistical year or much better where you go, oh, yeah, that's the league MVP.
Yeah, statistically, it's going to have to be better. Wins would have to be more.
That's a big
It's tough.
Order.
You look at LeBron, Steph, at a certain point, you're playing against your own greatness,
and
I'm with you. I wouldn't mention him in the MVP voting, or at least, you know, preseason watch list, whatever, just because also it's, I don't know, we get bored.
We got bored with LeBron
in
a sense of an MVP.
Like, he probably should win it every single year.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we don't know the parameters of MVP, and I think the NBA loves that.
Right.
They're not setting a parameter on best team, best player on best team, whatever. You know, what's the storyline that year? Which also kind of diminishes the award a little.
Well, yeah.
It's still huge, but the fact that, okay, well, you won it. You're probably not going to win it again.
Well, and if LeBron won it this year, which a lot of people think he could, I don't know without the season playing out, but I don't know that he would have a better season than he's had the last 4 years when he hasn't won it. But it's like, oh, well, the Lakers only won 35 games. He's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
And he averaged 26 points, 8 boards, 8 assists. He's the MVP. Well, he did that before and also made – and not that the finals matter, but it's interesting. It's kind of expectations, I guess.
For sure. Storyline, expectations, all that stuff goes into it.
Another game tonight I think that's interesting for a couple of reasons is the mess that is Minnesota, the Timberwolves, and Jimmy Butler is there, and Sam just told us a little bit ago he expects him to be there for a while, against San Antonio, and I don't even want to say, hey, don't take the Spurs out because people have done that for 15 years. I could see why they would miss the playoffs. I still have them making it. I have too much respect for their coach and just their overall talent. But I was really bummed for them that Murray got hurt.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to ask Sam about it, but then I kind of backed off because, yes, DeJounte Murray, that sucks he got hurt. He's actually a player I really like. I like his ceiling, his defensive ability, all that stuff. Who is it? Lonnie Walker's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the other? Derek White, who I also like, and they're really high on as well. Derek White will come back. But these guys, like, they still have DeMar. They still have LaMarcus.
Yep.
They still have a lot of good players. I still think they find a way until, look, it's kind of similar to LeBron, who made 8 straight finals. San Antonio's made the playoffs 19 straight years, something like that.
Incredible.
Until they don't make it, I can't pick against them unless they literally do a full-on tank rebuild. Like, I can't pick against Pop and the Spurs right now.
Yeah. And then the last one I had to put on the list just because you gave it intrigue to me. It was Mavs and Suns. These are two teams that, you know, Sam had non-playoff contenders. You're higher on the Suns than most, and then the Mavs, some people
have... My Suns bark right there. No, I'm just... Look, I... Whatever.
You said fighting for an 8 seed.
Yep. Troy Daniels is the name I forgot, by the way. That's the guy who shoots them all. Yeah, fighting for an 8 seed. Why not?
Yeah.
Why the hell not?
Right.
Also, I don't think it's going to be the logjam at 8. I don't think it's going to be where 3 through 10 are all fighting for it, you know? Where what? Portland won 2 more games.
A little more separation.
Exactly. I think there will be more separation. I think 40-42 will be the 8th seed. Or will be able to fight for the 8th seed.
Gotcha.
8th seed probably 42-43 wins, something like that.
All right. Well, those are some of the games tonight. As
far as
our game, it's the Kings and the Utah Jazz. We'll wrap things up, talk more about that game, update you on the Dodgers and Brewers, and get you ready for Grant and Doug. That's all coming up here on Sports 1140 KHDK. I was waiting.
It's a party in the USA.
So do you just go nuts when the song plays in your
car?
Yeah,
I hit a home run every time.
Yeah?
That's because it's my walk-up song.
Yeah.
It's my joint, man. What can I say?
Nothing
shout out Miley Cyrus.
Shout out.
Who's got a more singer, country singer name, Miley Cyrus or Wade Miley? I think Wade Miley.
Yeah. But equally strong.
Yeah.
Equally strong.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think that's it. Wade Miley should be a singer. I had comparisons for every single song, but like Party in the USA is a really good song, so I can't really think of one.
Yeah.
You know, like what I guess it's probably the new 2018, hey, we're friends in the kitchen doing dishes and we're like dancing so you can tell how good of friends we are because we're having a fun time doing a mundane chore.
Yeah.
And that's the song that's on, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
There you go.
Nailed it. Very specific.
I'm good at this, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Very specific.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
So what would be the nowadays song of you threw a house party and everything's destroyed, but you and your buddies have to come together and clean it up before your parents get home?
That's a good one. It would be one of these, you know, kind of rock songs that you guys have been playing, but I don't know enough rock for it. Like kind of soft rock a little bit, you know?
Pink, Raise Your Glass.
Okay, you know. Yeah.
Just throwing out there.
Something about, what's that? Some like EDM song or something. What's that song? Anything Could Happen. But that's what would play during the party.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What's her name? Ellie Goulding?
Goulding, that's it.
Something Ellie like that. Goulding. That's what would play during the party.
Text line's out. Come on, Jay Ross. First Train, now Miley Cyrus. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It just happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm still upset about the name Train. That's such a weak band name.
We're still going to get your ideal band name before
Clock long. Foam.
Hey, join KHDK as the Sacramento Public FC begin their playoff run this Saturday at Papa Murphy's Park. Match begins at 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets at sacrepublicfc.com. Of course, we will have that match for you Saturday right here on KHDK. So what are you expecting tonight, Charles? I think this is really, honestly, as difficult a matchup for the Kings. Doesn't mean they can't win. Utah is better. We know that. But I just don't like how they are so focused defensively. I think the Kings' weakness coming into the year is their defense, so I think they'll give us some points. And I think they can score with some teams, but not a team that really focuses on the defensive end. So I do anticipate this being a really difficult night.
Recycle plug. I do think that they're going to have trouble tonight. I mean, you pretty much nailed it. It's as bad of a matchup for opening night as you can get.
Yeah.
This young team, we talked about it, and I couldn't agree more. I think they will be able to put up points in games. But I think you put them up against, you know, probably the best defense in the NBA, it's going to be tough. And then defensively, you know, Utah's not explosive offensively, but they do have an explosive player.
Yes.
In Donovan Mitchell. How do they do against Donovan Mitchell, whether it's – I mean, I would imagine De'Aaron's getting most of the time on him. Maybe he's on Rubio instead, actually. Who knows? Whoever's covering him, how do they do against him? And then Willie and Rudy. I'm interested in that matchup. You know, obviously, you'd lean more towards Rudy Gobert in that matchup, but we'll see.
In the preseason game last week, again, it's preseason, but a lot of the times it was Willie. It might have been some Scal, but I think that was more second half. So I think it was Marvin and Harry – we're talking about the defensive end, the Kings having trouble scoring on them, but their defensive end, I don't know how many pick and rolls they ran that were just lobs to Gobert, and nobody was in the paint.
Yeah.
Nobody. And I went, man, they just got crushed on that. And so Gobert, I think, missed one shot, but everything was at the rim. He didn't have to do anything.
Yeah. It's something I noticed in the playoffs last year, and I saw it in that preseason game as well that you're talking about. But Utah didn't use the lob a lot. For whatever reason, which with a guy like Gobert, you think they would a lot more. Maybe it's something that they do now. They kind of saw that they, you know, weren't. They would do like a bounce pass to him where he would have to get it low and then come all the way up and would miss, you know, open layups. So maybe they used the lob more. But I also like the fact that Utah's a team that is kind of old school in the sense that they play a, you know, 7-1 center and a 6'10", you know, 270-pound power forward in Favors.
I always forget about Favors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where the Kings, they can't match the size so much, but the height, if that makes, like, they can't match the weight. Like, they don't have a guy, unless it's Randolph, who I don't think is going to be playing much anyways. But, you know, you got Cauley-Stein, Bagley probably starting. I'm interested to see how it goes. I agree with you from... Again, it's just preseason, but from that game, there was miscommunication. But as far as the physical matchup, I'm interested to see that.
And the other thing Utah does, too, they have this as a plan. It's obviously what they talk about. Okay, let's say they turn it over. Kings are running. They're going to foul.
Yeah.
They will not let you get a foul. They would rather foul you, use up a foul on
Super
anybody.
Annoying.
It is, because you're like, oh, here they go. Here goes Fox can't even run out. Or I see, you know, Harry's by himself. This is going to be fun. Oh, foul first. And they don't let you run when they do make a mistake.
With tonight's games, not just Utah, Sacramento, also the other 10 games that are on tonight, I want to see the officiating. Because last night, it wasn't as bad during the preseason, but it was still kind of whistle-heavy, kind of heavy-handed with the whistles. And I wonder if they're going to continue to do that. Are they going to pull back more? Either way, I hope not, and I hope it's something that corrects itself for just the sake of the game where – either the players figure it out and aren't fouling as much and realize what they're calling and don't do it, or the refs just relax a little bit.
Yeah, if it's a foul, it's a foul, but we'd all rather see the up and down, the game going, not free throws. And there's a few guys, you know, Giles so far in his early career is foul prone. Mm-hmm. He fouls a lot. He's aggressive, but he fouls. So got to stay away from that stuff tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
Nothing free for the Jazz. So I'm glad it's here. I'm glad the NBA is here. It got started last night. I don't know if the games were that great last night. It was just good to have basketball back. And the season just kind of gets going. We'll see if there's, you know, warms up a little bit. But for the Kings to have the home opener, and then I think it's seven. Yeah, it's seven of the first 10 are on the road. So it's brutal at the beginning.
Yeah. That's as far as it goes for a young team. That's about as tough of a first 10 games you can get.
Yeah,
it's tough that you're playing Utah, but then on top of that, you got seven of the first 10 on the road. That's not great.
Yeah,
but again, the good part is, you know what, it always ends up, you play 41 on the road and 41 at home, it's going to even out, so eventually it'll get better, but that's a very tough start.
Yeah. Chris,
Kings are winning tonight. I don't know what you guys are talking about, like, easily.
Okay,
Utah's coming in, they're like, oh, this is a team that we beat by 40, completely destroyed them. Got the Warriors coming up Friday at home.
Exactly. Trap game.
Yep. For our home opener. Yep. Not really paying attention, just looking forward. Going to probably go out and have some food before the game. Really stupid. Like, they're probably going to go to El Rey's, have a couple of drink at Kenny Thomas' place.
Yeah, no question.
Totally unprepared.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Jazz. That's very
exactly
characteristic.
Like the Jazz. Mm-hmm. Quinn Snyder, I mean, he's probably not even going to show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
He's probably back in Utah waiting for Friday.
Hey, text line said Kings win by 7 tonight. You heard it here first. You're right. We did.
Oh, well, that was me.
That was Chris?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I heard it from Chris first.
Then the text.
Yeah.
Updated baseball. Clayton Kershaw has given up a run. So the Brewers now have a 1-0 lead and threatening for more. Runners on second and third. I think that's in the third inning down in Los Angeles in game 5 of that series.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
Clayton, man, what is the deal?
What's the deal with Clayton Kershaw?
It's something mental. I don't get it, but, you know, right on.
Yeah, so the series will then eventually shift to Milwaukee. Marlins man's there, though, Charles, so everything's good.
God.
What does that guy do?
I don't know.
Besides sit row 1 or 2 behind every game, seemingly.
Pardon My Take has done this, like, funny thing where they act like they're friends with him. He is the worst.
Dude. Yeah.
Marlins man, get out of here.
Does he even like the Marlins? I know he's wearing the jersey.
Maybe.
It's his bit, but.
Yeah, he like went and yelled at Derek Jeter about, you know, him basically being a rogue agent for the Yankees. But,
yeah. I don't know. All right, well, we'll see how.
Face mask soup.
I don't like that one.
Gumbo frame.
Now we're talking.
You know what I mean?
That's the good name.
Chris, you got any? I'm surprised you didn't jump in on this.
I was talking down the line, so I didn't hear anything.
Oh. The rock name bands. Come on, man.
Yeah. Just trying to end with a good band name from Chris. And Charles is just picking objects in the studio. That's all.
Paper Flame. Flame isn't in the studio.
No, it's not.
Or is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It'd be a bad thing if it was. Well, Grant and Doug are coming up next. They're going to be at Golden 1 Center again. Kings basketball tonight, as it's the Kings and the Utah Jazz in Game 1. We'll be out there as well for Kings Live pregame, game night, and all that coming your way. Charles, thank you so much for sitting in. I know you're in tomorrow for Grant and Doug, too.
Jason. My pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right.
Yeah. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Kings game.
Yeah.
See
Sounds good.
Sweet.
It's a deal.
My guy.
For Charles Hamilton, I'm Jason Ross. Thanks to Chris Lott as well. Grant and Doug, come your way next here on Sports 1140.